You're listening to the Best of Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric Service. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Lloyd's Electric Service, Truly Hard Seltzer, MyBookie, and Volunteer Vodka.
The show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right? But in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Cam Black. For the next 3 hours, we will talk sports and other things powered by Lloyd's Electric. How are we today? Thumbs up from Cam, Cody.
I'm doing pretty good, John. Good to be here. Good to be anywhere. How you doing?
Living, man. Living.
L-I-V-I-N.
Really? I enjoy life. I'm usually pretty happy, except on Tuesdays.
Right.
Yeah, Wednesday is a great day for me. Thursday I come in still off the high off Wednesday. Sort of looking ahead to football. And then Friday, boom, weekend. And then boom, we are at the weekend. So really to me, I just got to get through Tuesday. Tuesday is the only day that I'm like, ah, man, this day kind of sucks. Everything else, I'm good.
Well, once Wednesday comes around, why are Wednesdays good? What do you like about
it? I just got a full slate of TV shows. Place I go frequently for dinner has a good burger deal.
Oh, really?
So dinner we kind of have planned already. We're just like, hey, we'll just go pick up some cheap burgers and we will
watch TV. It's good to have tradition.
Yeah,
places you go on certain days.
Yeah,
I have some of those.
Now this is strictly in the fall. Like it changes each season, but falls, I'm usually pretty happy. Just Tuesdays. Tuesday's the only day I get there, and I'm like, ah, what do I do with my time today? Everything else, good to go. Tonight, get to watch a pretty big Thursday night football game as the Broncos host the Kansas City Chiefs. We try to get Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce back on track. We will do we'll talk some fantasy later. We will talk some fantasy and answer some questions, discuss that as we get set for week 7. There's probably some teams at 2-4, 1-5 that are really needing a win. So we will try to help you get you there. I was thinking last night, we also need to go back and grade our advice that we gave out last week. I need to find that thread that I said about let's talk fantasy and people are asking questions. I need to see how we did actually in giving advice. I feel like we did pretty good, but I don't know.
Advice.
Yes.
Did we give good advice?
That's what I was saying. I think we did. I need to go back and check.
I don't remember what we said.
I mean, some people asked, do I start this person, do I start that person? And I think, I don't know, maybe we didn't, but that's what I said. We need to check.
I feel like you gave most of the advice.
So. Right. When I say we, I just meant you. And you I was just you. Including you. I mean, I was just including you.
Oh, so yeah, I'm not taking responsibility for anything that went wrong.
What about if it went right?
Maybe.
Okay. I'll go back and try to find it and hold ourselves accountable. So we'll do that again. How are you today? You good?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
I guess I'm all right.
You all right?
I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm as good as I'm going to be.
That's fair. Let's see. I found the questions.
People that I live with are sick. At least they claim to be.
That's gotta stink, right?
And that's kind of, yeah, I mean, because it's kind of making me like, I mean, I got a good immune system because I put a lot of things in over the years and, you know, I've fought it all off. You know, fingers crossed, I got some pretty good antibodies. But still, just being in a house full of sickness is not something I really like. So I hope they're okay. Brandon, actually, you might want to really, tease and peas for Brandon. He's The doctor told him this morning he's only got about 48 hours, so he's in pretty bad shape.
Okay.
He was watching South Park when I left trying to get caught up.
So if the entire station gets sick or if I get sick, we should blame your apartment. Basically, is that that's what it's come down to? We don't know if it's Rick or Brandon who is patient zero, but...
I think Rick started it.
Okay.
Rick did start it.
Trey was already taken down, so, I mean, he got taken down last week.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Allegedly. Was Rick sick before then?
I think so.
Okay.
I don't know. It's that time of the year where everybody's going to say they're sick and they're not really sick. Some people, maybe they actually are. I don't know.
I just need to know who to blame, bro. That's it. I just need to know.
Rick actually seemed pretty sick. And I know Brandon actually went to the doctor today. So I don't know.
Okay.
I doubt that I'll get sick. But if I do, I wouldn't want you to think I'm just making excuses either. So that's why I'm telling everybody about it up front. I don't think I'll get sick. Like I said, I got a good immune system. But you never know. So...
Watching the Lakers last night was pretty fun, watching them, especially in the first half. They're going to be a problem, I think. You know, yesterday we talked about overrated, underrated, right, Cam? And apparently people were bashing your question, not Cody's answer, basically saying how can someone be underrated if they're the favorite in the West? That's kind of what they were saying. I was like, well, there's not really an option. But I will say, despite them being listed as the betting favorite to win the West – there's been some other lines that have came out that, you know, have them basically fifth in the West in win totals. I think my bookie only has them at 51.5 wins over under. Whenever I saw another website come out and put playoff odds, the Lakers had the fifth best odds in the West. So, like, I think if they are getting looked at as the, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth best team in the West, I would say they are very underrated. Watching them play, and again, whatever, it was against the Warriors preseason team. Steph Curry didn't play, but LeBron James and Anthony Davis fit. And then whenever they also got Dwight Howard, who looked pretty good last night, you know, as long as he can give some minutes, that's a pretty good front line. That's going to be tough to play those two guys. So I'm excited to watch how they play. Last night it was fun. Last night was fun to see. We'll maybe get into a little NBA preview. I like giving out over-unders on win totals, a couple that I feel good about. So maybe we'll do that at some point today if we hit a lull. If not, we'll save it for Monday or Tuesday since the season starts on Tuesday. As you sit here, Cody, what is the story of the day? Go ahead.
What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to ask, is it the Thursday night game? Is it game four of Major League Baseball? What is it?
I was going to say it's probably that boxer that died.
Oh.
I feel like that's pretty big.
I don't know, man. That's number three on ESPN's headlines right now.
Well, yeah, what's it behind? It's the other
Jets wide receiver Thomas says that the short pat stay was, quote, a waste of time.
Okay.
Demaryius Thomas was not happy. Basically said the Patriots told me I would be a part of their team and that they wouldn't trade me and that I, you know, was – going to be a part of their plans. And then they got Antonio Brown and kicked me to the curb. So that was kind of a waste of time, he said.
That does seem like a big story.
Bradley Beal and the Washington Wizards agree on a 2-year, $72 million extension. That's big because.
Big contract.
It's a big contract, but also it means that Bradley Beal can't get traded this upcoming season. And he was probably the biggest star that was on the market. A team like maybe the Celtics could have put together a package to try to get him to become a legit threat in the East. But now he is in Washington for at least one more year. So, you know, that's a big star off of the potential trading block.
Okay. Well, when you throw the Jets in and Bradley Beal, I guess it kind of makes sense that the death of a boxer who suffered a 10th round knockout on Saturday night and then died from brain injuries is probably not quite as important as that. So, that's a good point. It's probably a reason it's third.
It's kind of crazy. I feel like this would be a lot bigger. It's crazy the way we handle this because I feel like if he died immediately in the ring, it's a huge story all week, right?
Yeah, but they managed to get him to a hospital.
But since he got to the hospital and, you know, strung out an extra 3 or 4 days and then died last night or yesterday afternoon, it's not as big of a story.
And he died at Northwestern, too. Which is a pretty good hospital, I think.
I thought they had just had a good journalism school. They got a good hospital, too.
I feel like it's a good medical school.
I'm assuming that Northwestern has a good hospital. They're a good institution, but I don't know.
He was only 27.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah. But Bradley Beal, right? Bradley Beal, that big contractor.
He's off the market.
Yeah. On behalf of Patrick's family, team, and those closest to him, we are grateful for the prayers, expressions of support, and outpouring of love for Pat that have been so obvious since his injury, his family said.
10th round of the fight. Day took two rights and a left hook that knocked him out. He went down. The back of his head slammed off the canvas, and the fight was immediately stopped. He was surrounded by medical personnel and within minutes was taken out of the ring on a stretcher into an ambulance. He never regained consciousness. At one point, he had a seizure and then lapsed into a coma before undergoing emergency brain surgery. On Wednesday afternoon, he was disconnected from the machines, keeping him alive, so he never came back to. But now the Wizards have a building block for the future. Like, I mean, they got that mess with John Wall, but they got Bradley Beal locked in. Like, he's at least giving them a chance to get things right. Bradley Beal's a top 10 fantasy player last year. I mean, Bradley Beal, his usage rate was over 30%. Like, I took him last night in my fantasy basketball draft. He was my first round pick at number 8. Kind of stinks because, like, apparently there's only 7 studs. Like, by 7, like, Curry goes off the board. So then I'm looking, like, do I take Andre Drummond? I was like, nah, I'm not taking Andre Drummond, bro. Like, who wants to root for Andre Drummond? So I looked and I said, who else could I get? Okay, Bradley Beal. Going to be a star. Was great last year. Like I said, top 10 player. Has the ball nonstop. So him getting that contract, it makes me feel better. It makes me feel better knowing that he's not going to like have to sit out halfway through the year for a trade demand, right? Because, I mean, if I spend a first-round pick on Bradley Beal, I want Bradley Beal to play. And that was the good thing about Bradley Beal. Cam, did you know Bradley Beal led the NBA in minutes played last year? He's not one of these load management guys. He is like, hey, I'm going to go out for my team. And they sucked last year. Like, I mean, they had every reason to sit him and tank. But he's like, no, I want to play. I want to put on for my city. And, you know, that's the kind of guys I want on my fantasy team. So when I saw the news of the extension, that's a big deal. Bradley Beal staying in D.C.
At one point, Pat had a seizure and then lapsed into a coma before undergoing emergency brain surgery.
I've already said that part. But, I mean, Bradley Beal playing a little point guard now. I mean, with John Wall out, John Wall's the worst contract in the NBA right now, so I feel bad for the Wizards a little bit, but at the same time, it didn't really hit the same. I don't know if you saw the graphic that ESPN put out of, like, the best duos and how much they cost. And they included John Wall and Bradley Beal in there. They don't really hit the same as, like, Kawhi and Paul George. Or even Dame and McCollum or Westbrook and Harden. Like, John Wall and Bradley Beal don't really feel like they fit on that list. Don't feel like they really fit. Colin says, if y'all haven't seen it, don't watch the Day knockout. I wasn't going to. Now that we know it's killing him.
I need to go check it out.
I don't like that type of stuff.
Where can I find it?
Probably on Rotten.com.
Very sad story.
It's number 3 on the headlines.
We get it. You don't care about...
I'm not saying I don't care. I'm just saying...
About Mr. Day.
It's kind of sad.
You don't care about Patrick Day.
Nah, I mean, it's just like, it's kind of sad. Like, number 3 on the headlines.
It's sad that it's only number 3?
Yeah, I feel like it should be a bigger deal, but like, I mean...
He finished his career 17-4-1.
Yeah, that
6 knockouts.
That 4th loss, though.
6 knockouts.
Yeah, but that 4th loss, that was a tough one.
Yeah, I guess he doesn't get credit at all for, I mean, I guess the other guy gets the win, doesn't he? That would really suck to be boxing in a ring and die. Has that ever happened before?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if that's ever happened.
And,
I mean,
we're so concerned about football.
It's happened
and the
long-term
effects.
It's happened in this regard, I think, where someone's made it out and got back to the hospital and died, or died after the fight. I don't know if it's happened like somebody dropped dead in the ring. I don't know.
We're so concerned about the long-term effects of football, yet these fighters, we just let this stuff keep going on.
I would say the difference is that, like, in football, they give you helmets, so people probably assumed it was safer. Like, we're not going to get hurt. We have helmets, right? Versus, like, I'm going to punch you in the head. Because we've seen this happen before. Like, not even, like, death, but, like, we've seen the side effects of what happened to Muhammad Ali. You know, the most famous boxer ever. Like, we've seen those side effects, and, like, people are still going to want to fight and make money. Like I said, maybe it's just because they had helmets in football, so they assumed it was a little bit safer.
Oh.
Well, that's an uplifting start to the day. We'll let Cody watch this death on camera.
Just saw it. Yeah, it's pretty aggressive.
Like, don't get me wrong. It would be really bad to be Day, but I also feel bad for the guy who knocked him out.
Yeah, because he's got to live with that. It really wasn't even that big of a shot. They just got him right in the right cheek. Yeah. Man.
We're off and running on Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric. We'll be back on the other side. This football season, don't let your lights get knocked out. Do the smart thing and call Lloyd's Electric Service and learn more about their Generac automatic standby generators. Lloyd's LES Facilities Service Division provides complete generator sales, service, and installation in Knoxville and the surrounding areas. With great financing options available, owning a home generator has never, ever, 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 ever been more affordable. Commercial, industrial, residential, Lloyd's does it all. Contact them at 865-692-6700 or online at LloydsElectricService.com. Lloyd's Electric Service, your business, our priority. Low energy in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios today. Low energy, I could tell. Cam said he got too much sleep last night, so that's good. Too much sleep for Cam. It's Thursday, so Cody probably... recovering from last night, I assume?
What? I'm fine.
Your energy's low.
My energy's fine.
I'm looking right at you. I can tell when your energy's low.
I need some water.
I've seen you every day for the last, give or take, the weekend. Every day, and that one time you went to California for 2 weeks right before football season. I've seen you every day for the last 2 years. I know when energy is low. Today, Cody McClure's energy, low.
I am fine.
We call him Low Energy McClure on these days.
My energy McClure. Is fine. I'm fine.
You're thirsty.
Nothing is wrong
with
me.
Which means that you're dehydrated, which means that you drank too much the night before and you're recovering.
I really did not drink too much.
I have this water right in front of me.
I drank a little bit. I didn't drink too much. I'm fine.
What would you do for a bottle cap of water?
Nothing. As soon as the segment's over, I'm going to go out to my trunk and I've got a whole case.
This is great.
I'll even bring you another one if you'll quit talking trash.
I do love this time of year because I always leave water bottles in my car.
Yeah.
And now they get naturally cold out in the trunk.
Yeah.
Don't even need a fridge.
Me too. That's what I like.
Just leave your groceries in your trunk.
That's what I do. I got cases of meat out there. Just crates full of ground beef and pork chops, all that kind of stuff.
So that's why you went out your way to park under the shade tree. You didn't want the sun to hit it.
Yeah.
Just wanted to keep the shade over your trunk so that your meat didn't go bad.
I sell meat out of the back of my trunk.
You get an Uber ride, and then at the end, Cody looks at you and says, you want some meat?
You want a T-bone?
What kind of meat you want?
Sometimes it doesn't work out.
Yeah. Sometimes it leads to one-star reviews.
Yeah. He asked me if I wanted some meat. I thought he was hinting at something a little dirty. One star. Unfriendly.
But no one has bought meat from Cody McClure and left less than a five-star review.
Yeah, it's good meat.
McClure's meat service.
I do sell meat.
Is it meat? McClure's meat packaging? What's the official title you have? McClure's meat. Is it just?
Just meat.
McClure's meat.
Yeah.
Welcome to McClure's meat.
I think I could. I think I could do it.
I keep messing up your last name and calling you McClure. McClure. I'm forgetting the L.
You're pronouncing it wrong.
Yeah, McClure. How do you say your last name?
It's you're also saying it like cloud, where it's supposed to be more like a U.
I'm pronouncing your name wrong. I don't know why I can't say it. Just say it for me, please.
I mean, I don't really know how to say it.
McClure?
Yeah.
McClure.
That's fine.
McClure. McClure. I've sat next to you for
it's Irish.
For over 2 years, and I cannot remember how to say your name. McClure.
It's Irish, so I don't know.
McClure's me.
You could just say Cody if you want.
Yeah, but then we lose the alliteration.
Cody's cold cuts.
Cody's cold cuts works better.
Whatever you want.
Okay. Yeah. McClure's meats or Cody's cold cuts.
Cody's cold cuts.
Cody's cold cuts.
Yeah. I sell salami, bologna.
Spam.
Prosciutto.
The spam is just picked up from the Dollar General down the street. We just pack up on that. That is not specially cut.
Capicola. All the good Italian meats. And ham.
What are you looking more forward to tonight, sports-wise? Game 4, Yankees-Astros or Chiefs-Broncos?
NFL.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm done with the baseball.
So you're over it?
I'm pretty much over it.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, Yankees-Astros, when they get to – I mean, I don't know. Maybe when it comes down to an elimination game, I'll care. When somebody's on the verge of being eliminated.
But yeah, so tonight is not that night. It's 2-1. It is just Game 4. So, yeah, it won't be an elimination game. You do get Greinke versus Tanaka, though. That was the Game 1 matchup. And the Yankees dominated Greinke. This, obviously, probably goes without saying. Feels like a game that the Yankees really, really need to win. Really need to win this one.
Yeah, and with the extra day because of the weather, now you're probably gonna have to deal with Gerrit Cole again.
Well, you're gonna have to deal with him anyways in Game 7 if it got that far. But the Yankees really need to win these next two. They need Tanaka to beat Greinke, and Tanaka was awesome. Game 1, he was awesome. He shut out the Astros. He was balling. And Greinke, Greinke isn't a pitcher that really performs his best in the postseason. He has talked about his anxiety and how he feels, gets nervous and feels pressure and all this stuff. And, for certain reasons. For that reason, he didn't want to go to certain markets like the Yankees, didn't want to deal with the fishbowl. So far this postseason, he hasn't been great. He's gotten touched both of his games. Tampa Bay smacked him down in Game 3, 10-3. He gave up 6 earned runs. And against the Yankees, he wasn't awful, but gave up 3 runs, and usually that would be okay with an Astros offense, but when you're going against the, Tanaka, as good as he was pitching, they need better. This is a must win if the Yankees want to make the World Series. I don't see them being able to beat Verlander and Cole back-to-back games.
No, I mean, it's the Astros to lose. Pitching's too good. Come down to the Astros and the Nationals. Bunch of good pitchers. It'll be a very boring World Series. Had the potential.
I think people still enjoy pitching matchups, though.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed watching the Aces go head-to-head. That's the best thing about the playoffs is, I'm okay with them changing the baseballs. Like, I think it's wrong, and I think it should be a bigger controversy. I feel like, baseball should have to explain why they've changed the baseballs back. Like, if you don't want your sport bastardized on the biggest stage, why do you not care to do it in the regular season? Like, are you just trying to create interest with, new home run records?
Yeah,
like, is that what you're trying to do?
Then you want to go back to your traditional same old baseball?
Yeah.
Go back to your small ball? You can't have it both ways. You can't just change the balls.
So I'd like an explanation as to why they feel like they should do that.
I would, too. Because it hurt my team.
Home runs in the playoffs are always a little bit down. It gets colder in October than it is in June, July, August, obviously, even September. It starts getting a little bit colder. I'm sure it's cold in New York today for this game. And also, you're going up against better pitchers, but the ball carrying, I don't think, it carries, easier in the humidity and the heat, but they have also said that the balls are different.
It's currently 53 degrees in New York.
Yeah.
With like, a high wind warning.
It's like all that stuff usually kind of knocks the baseball down a little bit, but they also said they changed the ball.
High wind until 6 this evening.
I don't know if baseball like prematurely called this game for a reason, but last night it only rained like a quarter of an inch in New York. They could have gotten game 4 in.
They were expecting it to be a lot worse.
Yeah, they were expecting it to be a lot worse, but like...
Yeah, that's the thing with weather forecasts, you know.
Should you respond to the forecast or respond to the actual weather, in your opinion? Because well, I kind of feel like you should go and play, and if it gets bad, okay, then we call it early, but...
Well, then you got all the fans coming to the game.
Okay, that's a fair point because it's a hassle to get there.
That's not really good for your fans if you... Yeah, we're going to play, we're going to try to play, and then... Gets all the way up to 30 minutes before the game's set to start, and then you cancel it, you know?
Especially in the Bronx where, I've been there before, never for a playoff game, but like parking was like $60. So, I imagine for playoff games, you got to pay almost $100 just to park near the stadium.
You been to the Bronx?
I went to a Yankees game.
Did you really?
Yeah.
When?
2011. I mean, it's been a while. It was like the first year the new stadium was open.
Did you go with a Yankees fan or you just wanted to go?
I've told you my best buddy is a Yankees fan.
I didn't know.
I feel like I've told you that before.
You probably have.
Also like a Giants fan, so I kind of hopped on the Giants bandwagon when they were good in football. Like it was always convenient. But yeah, he's from New York. It was a whole thing.
I feel like that would be cool.
It was weird. He was supposed to go with his dad, and then his dad's business had like an emergency. And so he's like, hey, I got these two tickets behind home plate, like six rows back. I got these tickets. I'm supposed to go see my family, my other family from when I lived in New York. You want to go? My dad doesn't want him to drive. His dad didn't trust him to drive. So he's like, you got to drive, though. I was like, yeah, it's fun. So we drove from here to New York for like 2 days. It was weird. We went to a Yankees game, and the next day we went sightseeing, and then we came home.
So you went to like Manhattan and
yeah, we went to see like the Statue of Liberty, like just looked at it and then like looked at something else and then went up on the
Empire State Building.
Yeah. Overrated? Actually, no, that was kind of cool.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was. I didn't go all the way to the very top, but we got there where we could look over Central Park, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah. Why didn't you go to the very top?
It was like an extra $20 and I was just kind of like, I've seen enough type of thing. Like,
I feel like you should have went to the top.
It was only like 15 extra stories.
Oh, well. Okay.
It's like 85 versus 100 or something like that.
Oh, so you went to 85. That's where they have the observation.
Yeah, I went to the observation tower. But you could pay an extra.
I thought that was the top.
You could pay an extra $20 to go to like the very, very top.
The very, very top. Like or like up on the needle?
To another level. I don't know like if it's the very, very top, but like to another level.
I don't know if I'd want to go all the way up there.
I went to the cheaper level.
That's where everybody goes.
Yeah. But I think there was the option to pay to go up even higher.
I thought you meant you just went up like 30 floors or something.
I saw a walk-off at a new Yankee Stadium, a walk-off single, but it was still a walk-off. That was cool. Watch CC pitch. That was cool.
Yeah.
Went to see The Hangover 2, which was not cool.
Hmm.
It was like Memorial Day weekend, so like the movie came out, so we went to see it. That was not cool.
Did you enjoy the drive?
I did enjoy the drive, actually.
Stop at Gettysburg?
No. Maybe I should have.
It's kind of on the way.
Wouldn't mind stopping in Gettysburg. We didn't stop anywhere. We stopped in like West Virginia or Virginia one night to sleep because we started late, and then we went up, and then we drove all the way back down the next day. Drove like a tornado in Virginia. That was kind of
cool.
Virginia?
We
hit some real storms.
Really?
It was kind of scary. Like, I thought I might die.
I didn't know they had tornadoes.
It was whenever me and Kendall had first started dating, so she was at her house watching Frank, so she was scared. So then when I got home, we made love for the first time.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So overall, pretty good weekend.
Solid trip, except for the whole hangover, too.
Yeah, but, that's just a small blip on the radar compared to the other things that happened the weekend.
Sure.
That weekend.
It was a successful weekend. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Lloyd's Electric Services is the region's most trusted service provider and a leader in mechanical and electrical service, industrial maintenance infrastructure, and commercial building services. Commercial building maintenance doesn't have to be pieced out to different companies. All of your facility maintenance needs can be handled by one trusted Knoxville company with a service record that speaks for itself. The LES Facility Service Division believes that facility maintenance should include it all. HVAC and refrigeration, Lloyd's deals with all top brands in HVAC, commercial and industrial units, chillers, and restaurant equipment. Telecommunication, Lloyd's is a trusted source for all fiber and hybrid coax installations. Let their team of highly qualified technicians upgrade and maintain your network. Their around-the-clock service repairs are available anytime, day or night, 365 days a year. Commercial, industrial, residential, Lloyd's does it all. Contact them at 865-692-6700 or online at lloydselectricservice.com. Lloyd's Electric Services, your business, our priority.
We'll play some buy or sell of Travis McKinney of the McKinney team coming up next segment. So I guess we should transition into something sort of similar to what we'll be talking about with him to make it less awkward.
What should we talk about?
I don't know. Tell me something. Give me a take about Tennessee football. Cam, you're next. Think of a take.
A take?
Give me a take about Tennessee football.
Just off the top of my head.
Give me your take.
Just right now?
Yes. Give me your take.
I don't think we're going to make
it. It's the new segment that I just created called Give Me Your Take.
I don't think we're going to make a bowl game.
That's your take?
Yeah.
Cody McClure's take is we don't make a bowl game. Okay? Cam, give me your take.
We cover against Alabama.
Okay. Where's that spread out right now? Let me go look over at
34.5.
34.5?
Yeah.
Cam says take the 34.5 and run to the ticket. Run to the ticket window. Say, hey, I need it. 34.5, give it to me.
Because you'll definitely win.
That's what Cam said. That was his take.
I mean, I'm not going to disagree with Cam.
We will be watching the game this Saturday at Elkmont Exchange. Really interested to see what this crowd's going to look like. Hey, you're coming off a win? I hate that we're coming off of a win and going into a situation that seems, you know, like a no-win situation.
Yeah, we did the same thing last year. I'm pretty sure we beat Auburn the week before Alabama, didn't we?
Probably.
I'm pretty sure, because I think I remember this exact same scenario.
Probably. It seems fitting. 2018 Tennessee football schedule. That seems about right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how it went down. You lose at Georgia. You come out of Georgia game feeling okay about yourself. Hey, we competed. And then, yeah, you beat Auburn. Then you turn around and have to play Alabama, and then you have South Carolina coming in after Alabama, where you're like, hey, this could be a chance to this is a pivot game for the season. So it's very similar in that regard.
The season really has started off about the same as last year when you look at except for, of course, the non-conference loss to Georgia State. But if you remove that one, it's basically just like last year, the way this thing started.
Tennessee was 5-5 last year. I feel like if they get to 5-5 this year, that everyone would take that, and everyone would bet that you make a bowl game at that point, right?
If we get to 5-5,
yeah,
because that would leave you with. I mean, what are your last two games there?
Missouri,
Vandy, and Missouri,
Missouri and Vandy. Missouri after a bye week. And we talked about it maybe being the difference between 8 and 9 wins or 7 and 8 wins, but like, keep in mind Missouri is going to have to play Georgia and Florida in back-to-back weeks,
right?
Before playing Tennessee, so there should be some letdown there. And also keep in mind that Tennessee will be coming off of a bye week as they play Missouri. So like, it should be scheduling-wise advantage Tennessee.
Should be, yeah.
Assuming, like I said, Tennessee gets to 5-5, like Tennessee beats South Carolina, UAB, and then can pull an upset in Lexington at Kroger Field to get to 5-5, everyone would feel really good about that.
The reason I gave my take when you put me on the spot,
that's the point of the segment,
is
give me your take.
Give me your take. I'm afraid we're not going to be able to beat South Carolina after playing Alabama, and Will Muschamp, for whatever reason, I mean, he's just got our number.
I will say that he didn't have. I didn't really feel like he had Tennessee's number last year.
Well, no, I mean we were Tennessee, up 21-9,
and Tennessee played better than they were supposed to in that game, and that was on the road, and Tennessee won that game. I felt like, or not Tennessee didn't win the game, but Tennessee came out feeling like they were probably the better team, or feeling like, hey, if that's in Knoxville, you win that game. So I didn't view that as just Will Muschamp having Tennessee's number. I just viewed that as like, Tennessee wasn't ready to win on the road yet.
That's just, you know how South Carolina goes. I mean, that's a 24-21 game that we find a way to lose. That's what it always is. So, I don't know. I don't have a lot of confidence in that one.
Well, obviously, if Tennessee doesn't beat South Carolina, it's going to be really difficult to make a bowl game.
It's going to be impossible unless you beat Missouri.
At that point, Tennessee would have to go 4-0 in the month of November.
You know, these South Carolina games, though, have you just looked at the series history with these games and how close they are?
They're all one-score games, right?
Since 2012, 38-35, 23-21, 45-42, 27-24, 24-21, 15-9. 27-24.
They're all one-score games.
They're all very tight. And mostly in the 20s.
When I think of Will Muschamp having our number, I think more of it about, like, from his time at Florida. It's kind of the way I think of it, but maybe I shouldn't. Guess it's half and half. All right, so Cam says we cover. Cam, defend your take. Why do you think we cover against Alabama?
I just think our defense is playing well enough that, like, we're not going to, you know, stop them or anything by any means, but I think we'll be able to slow them down enough, and I think we'll, you know, just get that one last late touchdown to cover at the end of the game.
So be down 38 with 4 minutes left, and Tennessee's able to score to lose by 31.
Yeah, we'll be down 35, cut 28, you know.
Okay, yeah, either way. All right. I mean, I do think, if you're looking at the point spread, Alabama's been a victim of that all year. If you're strictly looking at it from, does Tennessee cover 34.5, which, you know, bet on that if you want to. But I feel like Alabama has been susceptible to the backdoor cover all year. Their defense isn't as dominant as it has been in, you know, years past. They are definitely more of an offensive team this year than a defensive team. Like, no one argues with that, right? Like, they're clearly an offensive team.
Yes, clearly.
That's kind of been the case the last 2 years, right? They're more focused on scoring points. So I do think there will be opportunities for Tennessee to score points, especially if Brian Maurer starts, because it does seem like the offense is more explosive with Brian Maurer. The over-under is sitting at 61. What does that make the implied score there? Let me check. What does that make the implied score? You gotta find the middle. What is the middle? So you take 61 minus 35. What is that, like 50? 51 to 17. No, that's too high. 45. What's 30? 35 to 10? No. 37 to 13, maybe. 37 to 13, basically. So that's basically what the implied score is, give or take a half a point. So, you know, basically Tennessee is projected to score 14 points.
Alabama hasn't beat a conference opponent by more than 28 this year.
Really? It's kind of surprising. Because it's not, I mean, they've played some lower tier teams, right? I mean, at least like Ole Miss and
South Carolina.
Ole Miss and South Carolina, both teams that you think they probably could have beaten by 28, but okay. Do you think they are wanting to do that? do you think they're wanting to get their first, 30-point victory over an SEC team?
I think it depends on if Saban wants to crush his former sidekick, or if he's, you know, just kind of like, I'm just going to beat him, you know.
Am I wrong in saying Pruitt seems a little bit more confident in this team? Like, maybe it's just like, hey, Pruitt's feeling more confident because Tennessee won a game and he's feeling happy and there's no pressure in the Alabama game, right? Like, I mean, no one expects a win. So, I mean, I noticed he's been more laid back in his media coverage, media availability. And also, like, I saw a picture from practice. Pruitt's letting the sides grow out in his hair a little bit. He's already got the clean-cut bald head. He's feeling himself a little bit.
Oh, boy.
He's got some stubble on the side of his hair. Maybe he's feeling himself.
You know, I heard some people saying that Nick Saban believes that last year it hurt his team that they weren't playing late in games.
So you think he's...
And that he kind of let off the gas early on a couple of teams. Like, you know, he kind of did... Just as a favor to the rest of the SEC, he kind of let up early on them.
Well, he hasn't been doing that this year because they haven't beaten anybody by 30.
Right.
You think he's trying to keep the games close to keep his guys in and playing?
Well, no, I don't think he's trying to keep them close. I think he's just not letting off the gas as quick. So
well, they're not blowing teams out as much, though. So like,
well, they're still scoring, though. I mean, they're scoring up into the 50s. They're averaging like 51 a game.
So are they averaging more points this year than they were at this point last year?
Yeah.
And the defense is just giving up more points on the back end, I guess?
Yeah, but the idea is that Saban thought that his team, it hurt his team against Georgia and Clemson later in the year last year, that they weren't playing full games all year and that they could just sit out, you know, a majority of the second half. So he's been keeping, I guess he's been keeping Tua in for a lot longer.
Good job by both of you. That was a good job on giving your take.
Oh.
You thought of it quickly. I put you on the spot. Your take was pretty good.
Thanks. Cody. Thanks.
Cam, your take was good. You guys both came through with answers.
What was your take?
I didn't have one.
No.
That's why I was congratulating both of you on a job well done.
No. Very well.
We'll play some buy or sell with Travis McKinney of the McKinney team. Coming up next, stick with us. Not have him yet. We'll see if we can track him down to play some buy or sell. Keep an eye on the phones, Cam, in case he calls in, but we shall press forward. We shall press forward. And at least we snuck in at least 10, 15 minutes of Tennessee talk because of it. You okay over there?
These damn headphones. These earphones.
They get wadded up every time. How do they get so wadded up?
I don't know.
Every time.
I don't know what happens. I don't know how they're so wadded up. I simply put them in the bag the same way every day. It's not like I just throw them in there. I try to do it neatly. I don't know.
You take care of it.
I don't know. You're more excited about the rest of the football season or basketball season starting up? I've been watching some of the stuff coming out of SEC Media Days.
I'm more excited about the end of football season.
Okay.
I got sucked back in a little bit, watching the offense, watching Brian Maurer, watching the defense improve. Some young guys starting to make plays. You're starting to see it click for some guys, like, you know, even Ramel Keaton getting involved in the offense and the passing game down the field. Like, that's kind of exciting for me.
I have liked watching Brian Maurer. If he can keep this up through the rest of the year, we might end up with a little quarterback controversy going into next year.
I don't think it'd be a controversy. I think you'd have a starting quarterback, and you hope that your freshman can redshirt. I don't even think it'd be a controversy.
I thought it'd be kind of a controversy with Harrison Bailey coming in.
I don't know, man. I feel like if Maurer keeps playing well, that would lead to him. I just don't think. I mean, like when you think about the early part of next year's schedule, you're not putting Harrison Bailey on the road at Oklahoma, are you?
I mean, I'm not.
If you have a guy on your roster who's played at least some snaps in the swamp, looks like he's going to get maybe get the start at Alabama. Going to play at Missouri. Going to play at Kentucky. Like have some SEC road experience. You don't put him on the bench to send a true freshman into Oklahoma, do you? Unless this Bailey kid's just a phenom, which I don't view him as a phenom.
I don't either, but that's what some people expect him to be. I mean, that's what a lot of fans I've seen expect him to be. Like, he's the second coming, you know. He's the next Peyton Manning.
I don't think people think of him like that.
Some people are.
The next Peyton Manning?
I've seen people talking about him.
Who?
People on the internet.
You've seen one or two people tweet about it? Or
a few.
So anybody reputable or just, like, Twitter accounts?
Twitter accounts.
Okay.
Mainly. I'm just saying, there's a little talk. That's fine. There's a little talk out there.
Those people are the extremists. Those are the outliers.
Maybe so. Maybe so.
I just didn't know if he was getting any like type of – I don't feel like he's getting that type of hype from big-brain journalists.
Are they more reputable than the average fan?
We've had this discussion. More so than the outliers. More so than the people on the Vol for Life Facebook page who are saying that Tennessee can beat Alabama this week.
I'm not talking about those.
I'd imagine those are kind of the same people comparing Harrison Bailey to Peyton Manning. Yes, I'd imagine they're not far.
Well, nobody actually compared him to Peyton Manning.
Oh, I thought you just said that.
Well, no, I mean, I was kind of exaggerating. I was just saying.
Just a little hyperbole with the bros.
I was just saying that the talk about him is very positive. Everybody thinks he's going to be great.
Are people thinking that he could come in and do that as a freshman, though? Because I think those are two different things.
I don't know. I guess it depends on who you ask.
I don't have confidence in almost anybody being able to come into the SEC as a freshman.
Well, in today's game, they kind of have.
I mean, I don't know. If Bo Nix can't come in and be better than he is as a five-star, like, I mean.
I mean, at least a redshirt freshman, you kind of.
Redshirt freshman is a little bit different than a true freshman.
It is. It is.
I'm thinking of just true freshmen. Can you come in as a true freshman and ball out? Like, if you told me that Harrison Bailey came in and redshirted for a full year and then took over 2 years from now, I'd say, okay, I'll buy that.
Was Trevor Lawrence a true freshman?
Yeah, but he got eased into it, right?
Yeah, but it was his first season.
And that was also the –
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to come out in game one.
That was also the ACC versus the SEC. Like, they correct me if I'm wrong, but Kelly Bryant still got a lot of those reps against Texas A&M early in the year last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they go with that route. I mean, maybe not. Maybe Harrison Bailey comes in and they split time. And
I mean, the end of our schedule is pretty comparable to an ACC schedule.
Sure.
So maybe – well, no, next year it won't be.
Yeah, no, next year you have Georgia waiting in the wings.
That's going to be neat.
We'll be.
Excited to see that.
Balance the season out a little bit better.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if there's going to be – like, I'm fully riding with this Maurer guy right now. Okay. I'm just wondering if there will be any kind of controversy at some point during next season.
But, no, to answer your question, I am more into this football season right now. If Tennessee loses to South Carolina, ask me again. You know, like if they lose to South Carolina, ask me again because a lot of the intrigue will probably be gone for me. But I have enjoyed seeing some of these young guys start making plays. I've also got to be honest, like a lot of people focus on the young guys, and I know I've talked about the young guys myself, but I have found it to be pretty cool that Nigel Warrior has realized some of his potential lately. I think he's played a couple good games back-to-back. And that kind of interests me. And it kind of gives me hope that he can finish his career strongly here.
Nigel Warrior?
Yeah, he's made some plays.
He's been fine, yes.
Chattanooga game, whatever, but I thought he was flying all over the place in the Mississippi State game, too.
I thought we had a lot of guys flying around.
Right, but I mean, some of those are young guys. I mean, like Bryce Thompson's kind of looks like he's rounding back into form, and Trey Smith was the SEC co-offensive lineman of the week. He graded out in the 90s. On Pro Football Focus, like he's kind of knocked the rust off of him and back to mauling people. Like, yeah, you've seen some of those guys come back around too, the older guys.
It's amazing what can happen with just a great effort, you know, just going out and playing hard. Running to the ball, tracking down defenders.
Yeah, just effort.
Just effort.
I think with Trey Smith it wasn't effort. I think with Trey Smith it was rust. Like, hey, you haven't really gotten to practice hitting people. You maybe have kind of forgotten what it's like. Maybe that was just a one-time performance against Mississippi State. I don't know what Mississippi State has on the defensive line. I know they lost, you know, their big studs. You know, Jeffrey Simmons is gone. He is with the Titans.
He is.
But it gives me hope for what Trey Smith and the offensive line can do, you know, once they get past Alabama. So, for now, I'm holding off on basketball. I'm not as excited about the non-conference this year as I was last year. You know, last year we were ready. Like, hey, Grant Williams, Admiral, we can win a title. Let's go do that. I don't have title aspirations this year. I have tournament aspirations. I want to see how they look in SEC play. But the first couple weeks and even the game against Washington doesn't have the same feeling as a potential matchup with Kansas and Gonzaga, right?
Yeah, not quite. Do you know when our –
to me, the first big game – Washington will be cool, but the first big game will be December against Memphis. Like, that's when I'll be – really ready to go.
Well, and also just the, you know, the expectations are a little different this year.
Yeah, that's what, yeah, for sure.
You know, last year we were really riding with, I mean, we were 23-1, for God's sake.
So what were you going to ask me? Do I know what?
Do you know when our next big recruiting weekend is here?
In football or basketball?
Football.
I would imagine it's South Carolina.
I'm just wondering what it'll take for us to get back in on some, you know, I guess it'll take a bowl game. I guess it'll take beating South Carolina and winning down the stretch. I'm hoping we can get back in on some of those big-time players. Because there should be some excitement about football, at least at the moment, when you look at how the team's gotten better and how they've, you know, the younger guys play for Pruitt and they play hard for him. that means his recruits, I would have pretty good confidence in those guys for the time being. But we just, I mean, our class, you know, it's 10th in the SEC right now. We need to add some pieces.
Yeah, and maybe the Mississippi State win wasn't enough to convince some people that, hey, this is going in the right direction. Maybe you have to beat South Carolina and make a bowl game before you get some of the big guys.
I think that's what we got to do. We got to beat South Carolina, and we got to have a good November.
All right, we'll talk some fantasy up next. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric. Rooting for people you like, to an extent. Sorry for the podcast people. We're talking fantasy. Had a lot going on. I had to put a sex song in for us. I had to get that ready for
had to make sure
talk.
That was working. I'm distracted over here now. I'm looking at my fantasy team.
Witten is tied for the fifth most red zone targets of tight ends this season.
So he's getting the fifth most red zone targets?
Yeah,
is that good or bad because he has two touchdowns and he doesn't have any since week two?
Yeah, I don't.
So I feel like
that's kind of a misleading stat.
I feel like that's bad if he's tied for the fifth most red zone targets. Mm-hmm. Like maybe he'll luck in and get a touchdown, and they play the Eagles, who do have a really bad secondary. So
he is also coming off a game where he had the most targets of the season. He had 7 targets last week.
Yeah, he did. But like I said, you're going to get 5 catches, 57 yards, 3 catches, 29 yards, 4 for 50, 3 for 50, 4 for 25, and a touchdown. 3 for 15 and a touchdown. So, like, you basically are just praying that he gets a touchdown, I feel like, with Jason Witten.
That's most of the tight ends, though, if you don't have the top guys.
It is. And do you feel more comfortable about his chances of getting a touchdown versus the Eagles than you do T.J. Hockenson? Maybe. Hockenson had 6 targets, 4 catches, 21 yards. Like I said, he dropped a touchdown pass against the Chiefs, 3 for 27. And a touchdown, then had a concussion, went out. He does have the monster performance in week one against the Cardinals, where he had 6 catches, 131 yards, and a touchdown. I prefer Hockenson just because I feel like he's got much of a higher chance to go boom, right? Mm-hmm. Is that fair to say? Like Witten, I feel like Witten's best case this weekend is 5 catches, 50 yards, and a touchdown. That's 16 points. That'd be a good week. But, like, you've already seen Hockenson put up a monster week. I think he has much more upside than Witten. Sawyer writes in, asks, do we trust Josh Allen as a bye week fill-in? Maybe I'm wrong. I definitely trust him this week. I definitely trust him this week when you look and see that they are playing the Dolphins. I've picked up Josh Allen in a couple of my leagues. I'm starting him against Cody this weekend, so I'm trusting him as a bye week fill-in, and I might be trusting him as a starter for the next 4 or 5 weeks. Like, Josh Allen has been pretty good this year. Even against the Patriots, like, he was fine. Josh Allen has 16 fantasy points in most of his games this year. Like, really, except New England, where he had 3 interceptions. He still even rushed for 25 yards and a touchdown, so like he still salvaged somewhat of a day. Otherwise, he has given you a rushing touchdown in 3 of his 5 games. He's going to run around. He's going to make plays. I trust Josh Allen as a fill-in. I trust Josh Allen really for the next 4 or 5 weeks because their schedule is not tough. Their schedule's not tough. Like I said, I've picked him up. I'm playing him over Carson Wentz for the foreseeable future because the Eagles are the opposite. The Eagles are about to go into a tough schedule. You look at Josh Allen. Dolphins this week. Next week against the Eagles. We just talked about how bad the Eagles secondary is. Redskins. Those are the next 3 weeks. I'm trusting him all 3 of those weeks. Against the Browns, if you maybe want to go back and start someone else, maybe. But, the Browns have been giving up plays to quarterbacks all year. After that, at Dolphins, so you get it again. So 4 of the next 5 weeks at least, I would be perfectly fine with making Josh Allen a top 6, top 7 fantasy play. So not only a bye week fill-in, I'm buying him for the bye week, and I'm keeping him for the next 3 or 4 weeks. Good question, though. And again, if you have a bigger option, like a Mahomes or a Watson, Lamar, I'm starting them, you know, over Josh Allen. But other than that, like I said, he is a top five, top six type of guy. Starter set. All right, we got what? We got three spots, four players. Cam, follow along. Yep. Jeffrey, Julio, Diggs, Carlos Hyde. I think I'm going Hyde, Diggs, Jones, and benching Alshon. I think that's what I would do. Alshon going against Dallas. Dallas is good against the pass.
Yeah, I would agree.
I mean, I would rank them. If I'm ranking them, I'm still ranking them Julio, Diggs, 1 and 2.
Yeah.
What you saw from Diggs last week makes me think that they're going to get him, you know, keep him involved in the passing game.
And, yeah, I think Darius Slay will try and take away Thielen. I think they're playing the Lions.
Yeah, they're playing the Lions. Yeah. Yeah, they're playing the Lions, who have a good secondary.
But, yeah, I think they'll put Slay on Thielen for most of the time.
Thinking a bad week for Thielen.
Justin Coleman, I mean, he's the nickel guy. So, I mean, if they keep him out of a slot, they may not have to worry about him. Although Diggs, I mean.
You saw Coleman. Coleman's hit or miss a little bit sometimes. You saw last week.
That's true. Coleman got picked on a little bit by Aaron Rodgers. And that was, you know, by someone with not as much talent as Stephon Diggs. So I think out of that group, I'm still grading Julio as a must start.
Yeah.
Even if Jalen Ramsey plays, I don't know if Jalen Ramsey's going to match up with Julio. Even if he does, Julio's going to get you 15 points. He's going to get you 7 catches, 75 yards, something like that. Feel comfortable in saying that. Especially because I do think in the Dome, this Falcons-Rams game is probably going to be a shootout, right?
You would think.
It's going to be another one of those that both teams get in the 30s, I would imagine.
And Matt Ryan's been playing well as of late, so I would, I absolutely would trust him.
Though. Jeffrey or Hyde?
I think I'm with you and going Hyde and just... I think that's kind of tough. That's the biggest toss up, I think. Honestly,
yeah,
sure.
I think I'd go Jeffrey over Hyde. I think I've changed my mind.
Really?
Hyde's been good, though.
Yeah, they've been using them a lot. He definitely is the running back there.
But the Colts are pretty good against stopping runs. I think I'd swap Jeffrey out for Hyde. And maybe it's just, like I said, you know, a big part of my fantasy. Especially if I'm not in like a real high dollar league. If I'm in, you know, $20 leagues that I care about, but maybe not as much, I go with like, oh, this guy's on prime time. That'll give me the nod. That way I can watch that game and really be rooting for something. Maybe I'm wrong, but like I've talked about my fantasy basketball league, I spent my second round pick on Trae Young, my third round pick on John Collins. I wanted to root for the Hawks. To me, that's a big, to me, that's worth the buy-in if I lose.
I'm back on Jeffrey. I didn't realize he had 10 catches last week.
Yeah, I'm going Jeffrey. I'm swapping Jeffrey out for Hyde. Jeffrey had 10 catches last week?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's against a Viking secondary that was pretty good. Jeremy asks for a trade offer. Says he's getting offered Dalvin Cook and Robbie Anderson for Hunter Henry, Derrick Henry, and Allen Robinson. Says he needs tight ends and wide receivers, so I guess he's getting back Hunter Henry and Derrick Henry and Allen Robinson. Says he has Andrews as tight end, so he's okay with losing Hunter Henry on the other side of the trade. Look, and when I'm trading, I usually try to get the best player. Like, that's usually my rule is, like, I want the best player. But if you're in week 7, which we're heading into week 7, and you're 2-4, and you're like, hey, I need to improve my team and get it more well-rounded, I'm not going to fault you. I probably prefer the Dalvin Cook, Robbie Anderson side of this pretty heavily. I think you could do better if you're trading Dalvin Cook.
I agree. Dalvin's really good.
And, like, Hunter Henry, we just talked about how great he was last week, but Hunter Henry still 1 week, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's 1 week of being explosive, right? I mean, like did he play earlier this year and do anything?
He did. I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head. Let me see.
And Hunter Henry's been good when healthy.
Yeah.
But so far this year, he's played 2 games. Week 1, he had 5 targets, 4 catches, 60 yards against the Colts. So, you know, he got you 10 PPR points. And like I said last week, 8 catches, 100 yards, 2 touchdowns against Pittsburgh. One of those came, you know, kind of in garbage time, at least garbage time at Jace. Last week was a weird game for the Chargers. I don't think Hunter Henry is going to be that guy every week. I do think Keenan Allen will get targeted more than he did against the Steelers. I do think eventually they will get back to giving Melvin Gordon the ball. Jeremy, to answer your question, if I'm getting Dalvin Cook, I'm taking that trade. If I'm trading him, I'm not. And even Robbie Anderson, I kind of want to see what he can do with Sam Darnold. I want to give Robbie Anderson a chance. I would take, you know, I don't even know if you're upgrading trading Robbie Anderson for Allen Robinson, right? Like, I don't know if you're even upgrading there.
I definitely think Robbie has a better quarterback situation than Trubisky, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And Anderson has more of the home run. You have any questions about your garbage fantasy teams?
I've been just looking over at my roster
and you
going
realize,
against you this week.
And you realize you're cooked.
I need a big-time receiver.
Yeah.
And Odell is out this week.
Mm, damn, you hate to see it.
It's a bad week to have no Odell.
Ah, you hate to see it.
I don't know what I'm going
to
do.
If it makes you feel better, Mike Evans is also in a bye. So, like, you traded him to me. So, like, it's not like you would have had him this week either. If that makes you feel better.
It doesn't. I don't know what I'm going to do.
I know what you're going to do. Lose.
Yeah.
Sir, you're going to lose.
I'm going to die.
Cersei Lannister's army will be burnt alive by the Mad Queen and Drogon. That's what's going to happen, my friend. Hour two is in the books. Hour three on deck. Happy to see acceptance has sank in. Stick with us.
The McKinney team with Keller Williams understands that buying or selling a home is...
My name is John Reed, and for years people made fun of me for not drinking beer. I tried to find some replacements, but they were all far too sugary and left me feeling bad. Lucky for me, I found Truly Hard Seltzer. It's refreshing with only 1 gram of sugar. You truly love to see it.
It's the dawn of a new game day, and Truly Hard Seltzer is subbing in for light beer. With 5% ABV, only 100 calories, and that's light and refreshing. Game day with Truly Hard Seltzer. Drink what you truly want. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company. Drink responsibly.
This.
Alright, are y'all ready for this or that?
Yes, I am.
Absolutely.
Alright, well, first up we have lockdown corner or dominant pass rusher.
I got to go with having a dominant pass rusher. If you can affect a quarterback with the pass rush, it gets them under so much pressure. And you can rattle them the whole game. A lockdown corner is great, but essentially what it does is it just eliminates your best receiver. You're still going to have options. You're still going to have your dump down. You're still going to have other receivers across the field. You know, just because you have a lockdown corner, who knows if the other corners and DBs are any good. You should still have some options as a quarterback. Plus, I'm assuming in this scenario, you got a little more time to throw. But with a dominant pass rusher coming at you at all times, I mean, if he gets you a couple times, gets you on the ground, he's going to hurt you. You're shook. You're rattled for the rest of the game. So even if you do have open receivers, you're always thinking, oh, my God, when am I going to get hit? When am I going to get hit? I mean, just ask Joe Theismann, you know, about Lawrence Taylor. I mean, these quarterbacks that get hit by the great pass rushers, it is clearly more valuable, and it's why they always go at the top of the draft.
Who's the best defense in the NFL this year?
It's hard to say. I mean, there's a few teams that can make a case for it.
I'm just going to go on a limb and say it's the New England Patriots.
They got the best coach.
Okay. Do you feel like, is it fair to say they are the best defense in the league?
This particular year, yeah, I'll call them the best defense.
Name one of their pass rushers.
Okay, yeah, your point's taken on that.
Stephon Gilmore allows them to do a lot of things in their secondary. If you have a shutdown corner, you can take away three receivers from that respect. You can put your shutdown corner on one guy, and then you double-team two other guys. There's a reason why the Steelers and Antonio Brown could never beat the Patriots because they always kind of took Antonio Brown and kind of shut him down. It happens. It affects four, five different guys. A good pass rusher, don't get me wrong. If you have a great pass rush, that's different. Do not equate having one good pass rusher or one great pass rusher for having an entire great pass rush. Just one guy is not enough. You have to have more than one. Think
same
back
in
to
the secondary.
That's not true. That's yeah, not true. If you have one shutdown guy,
if your other DBs suck, it's
your other DBs, you can double team the other receivers. Surely to God, an NFL two defensive backs can guard one receiver. If you have just one elite pass rusher, there's many things you can do. You can put a tight end there to double team. You can also have a running back there to chip. You can essentially take those pass rushers
some guys
out of the game.
Can't block though. Reggie White, you ever heard of Reggie White?
I have heard
of
Reggie
Tennessee
White.
Players of all time.
I have heard of Reggie White,
the Minister of Defense.
Uh-huh.
You don't hear those cool nicknames with corners. I mean, name a corner
prime
with a cool
time.
Nickname.
Primetime, Deion Sanders, the prime GOAT. Won a lot of Super Bowl rings.
It's not the Minister of Defense.
Who won more Super Bowl rings, Deion Sanders or Reggie
of
White?
Defense. I mean, look.
Who won more Super Bowl rings, Reggie White or Deion?
Your way through the.
You brought up the question, not me.
You can't just take one thing and make it a thing. You take this year's example with the Patriots. Well, what about last year's best defense, the Bears? You can't really.
Yeah, they lost.
You can't. Yeah, but they were still the best defense statistically. You can't really name a lot of their corners, but you can name Khalil
Mack.
Yeah,
I can. Yes, I can. They're
Prince Amukamara, sure, but he's not one of the best.
Fuller's a beast.
But they're not.
Their secondary is awesome. Their entire defense is great. It wasn't Khalil Mack.
They're not
Khalil
Stephon
Mack was in
Gilmore.
Oakland.
They're not
Khalil
Stephon
Mack was
Gilmore.
In Oakland, and they won like four games, bro.
Because it's Oakland.
Because
Oakland.
A great pass rusher
well,
isn't
okay,
great,
well, you're
good
just
enough.
Automatically reference the best team in football. I mean, you got the best coach. You got Bill Belichick. Sure, they
their defense
to have a
is
great
elite
corner.
Because of Gilmore. They have the best corner in the league.
They're
and he
elite
just
because of Belichick.
Because Belichick knows. What do I need here? Give me the best shutdown cornerback. Is he out here trading for Khalil Mack? Is he out here trying to get a great
pass
rusher?
They've
no.
still got a collective pass rush.
Other times he's been like, hey, you know who else I need to make my defense really pop? Darrelle Revis. Name one elite pass rusher he's tried to go out and get. So why are you mad at me for referencing the greatest defensive coach in NFL history, maybe the greatest coach in NFL history? He agrees with me. Give him the shutdown corner.
Why is it
he
that
he went out and paid for Darrelle Revis. He went out and traded for Stephon Gilmore. He wants those guys because he realizes that's more important for an entire defense. You can double-team a defensive end and shut him down.
Why is it that the Defensive Player of the Year award always goes to a defensive lineman? Because they're the most valuable player. Aaron Donald won it 2 years in a row. Before that, it was Khalil Mack. It was J.J. Watt 2 years in a row. It's always the best
what
defensive
J.J.
player
Watt
going
won?
To a defensive lineman.
What has J.J. Watt won?
There's a whole team around him. The teams also have to have a good coach. They got to have a good offense.
I don't understand what an individual award has to do for a defense. Like,
I'm saying because,
asking about
because the most valuable
have.
Player on a defense tends to be the best, the great defensive lineman. You don't see Stephon Gilmore winning the NFL Defensive Player of the Year award.
You know why?
Why?
Because they're not able to impact a game statistically.
Exactly. They can't impact a game as much as
a
great pass rusher.
No. Do not try to cut me off.
That's,
I said.
That's pretty much what you're saying.
No, I didn't. You're missing a very important word there.
Yeah, go ahead.
Statistically. You know why? Because you don't throw at those guys. They shut down a whole side of the field.
If they're great, maybe they should intercept some passes, you know?
No,
not maybe
if they
should deflect.
Not if you don't
passes.
Throw the ball at them.
Last I checked, so now we're just not throwing the ball at them. Okay.
That's what happens when you have a shutdown quarter.
Okay,
you don't
what
test
about
him.
When you take two offensive linemen to block a defensive end and he still gets through because he's that good?
What's more, two linemen or a whole side of the field?
I mean, that could take off the whole side of the box the quarterback's trying to pass in. You're just picking apart things that don't even matter.
A great pass rush is important, Cam. Don't get me wrong, but one pass rusher doesn't do it.
It's
when
the most important.
When Von Miller was wrecking shop, he had a great defensive lineman on the other side. You might have heard of him. DeMarcus Ware. That's who.
DeMarcus Ware, huh?
Yeah, that's who. He had a great sidekick. You have to have a sidekick. You don't need a great sidekick if you're a shutdown corner.
Did Bruce Smith have a great sidekick when he set the NFL Redskins. Record for sacks? Did Reggie White have a great sidekick?
I don't know if he did or not, to be honest.
I don't either. So far, I've only heard you reference one player, Stephon Gilmore.
No.
Any other great DBs you got? Just,
Primetime. I gave you Deion Sanders. I gave you Primetime.
That could just take over a game.
Jalen Ramsey took the Jaguars to the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, well, who do the Rams fans care more about, Jalen Ramsey or Aaron Donald? Who makes
what?
The Rams fans. Who cares more? Who cares more?
I've
about
I've seen more tweets about Jalen Ramsey this week than Aaron Donald.
This
so
week,
I don't know.
Yeah, sure. This week, it's a pass rush.
Cam,
I gotta give the point to John. You gather with the whole talking about how you can.
You gotta have a sidekick.
Do a lot more.
He didn't make any sense. He made a straw man argument.
You don't even know what straw man means. Quit using that word. You don't know what it means.
You just decided to side with him because you assume he's right.
You don't even know what straw man means. Stop saying it.
I know exactly what straw man means.
All right, next up.
It means you take one thing to try to make your whole point when there's so much more about it.
Next up, we have Heath Ledger versus Joaquin Phoenix.
That's not what it means.
It's pretty much what it means.
I'll go with Joaquin. I'll go with Joaquin. The Joker, I've said this many times, Heath Ledger was great. It was overrated because he died. Let's just face it. just go screen time, man. Just go screen time. Who carried the movie more, Joaquin Phoenix or Heath Ledger? Who carried it more? The entire movie is Joaquin Phoenix. He did a better job. He disturbed you. At no point did I feel disturbed by Heath Ledger. At no point did I feel like he was actually a real threat. Maybe the pencil trick. That was about it. With Joaquin Phoenix, you actually were terrified of him. You saw a man do realistic things. Not like, hey, I'm fighting superheroes, I'm fighting the mob boss, I'm doing this and that. I am just stabbing my coworkers, I'm killing my neighbor, I'm snapping, I'm running from the police.
Well, they're completely different movies.
I mean, I understand.
The writing's different. The screenplay's different. I mean,
yeah.
you can't.
Joaquin's was better.
I mean, you can't. I mean, I don't. But the story's better.
I mean, if you want to go like who just had a tougher job doing it, like Joaquin Phoenix had to play a whole like character arc in a movie. All you saw from Heath Ledger was just the Joker being the Joker. Like there was no depth there. It was just him being the Joker.
But the reason people remember The Dark Knight
is because Heath Ledger died.
No, it's because he was so damn good.
It's because he died.
It's not because he died. It's just because
he was dead.
You assume because he's dead. That's why people care about it.
And that was a big part of it.
No, it's not.
Same reason.
That's a horrible thing. That's like saying Jimi Hendrix was no good at playing the guitar. He's
just not the same, but saying
he died, so
it's the same. It's the same as me saying that Tupac is overrated because he died. It's that same line of thinking, that Kurt Cobain is overrated because he died.
Just because someone dies doesn't mean what they were doing wasn't great.
Didn't have a comeback for those.
How many quotes can you remember from the Joker from this new movie, this new Joker movie that's so great everybody's talking about?
I've watched it one time.
First of all, go ahead. How many quotes you got?
All I have are negative thoughts. That's a good one. Murray! That's another one.
Yeah.
What do you get when you mix a depressed, suicidal maniac with a society who has cast him aside? What do you get? Spoiler alert.
How about introduce a little anarchy, upset the established order, and everything becomes chaos?
It's crazy that you remembered these so well that you had to Google them to read off.
I mean, everybody.
Did I Google any of these quotes to read off? You had to go Google
what
Joker quotes from Heath Ledger.
How do you know I'm Googling?
Because I'm watching you read. I can see you
what
looking at the screen.
What kill you simply makes you stranger.
I'm watching you read.
Why so serious? You tell me I couldn't have remembered why so serious?
You're the one who Googled it, bro. You answer the question.
You didn't do research for your arguments
No.
here?
No, I didn't do one bit.
I see quite a bit of tabs
you
open
see,
right there.
You see my Twitter account?
There's no
you
rules
see,
Major against
League
doing
Baseball,
research.
Zach Greinke, Bradley Beal.
There's no rules against doing research
there's not,
the segment.
No, there's not. But there is when you're trying to pass it off as you remembering when you're asking me memorable quotes and you're reading me quotes
everybody
as if you remembered them.
First of all, everybody remembers more from The Dark Knight, and even if they didn't.
Because they've seen it more than once, bro.
They saw this movie yesterday and last week. You remember things on your mind that are fresher
that's
that you've seen.
That's not true. Repetition is key.
No.
Repetition is key.
Nobody's going to remember this dumbass movie. Nobody's going to remember this movie.
When you're studying
for a test. The critics hate
it.
The critics hate it. If anything, this movie is going to inspire violence. It's going to inspire killers to go out and actually kill people, which is dangerous for our society, and it's why this movie is being slammed for the inspiration to kill as it is.
Okay, that's fine. So far, Joaquin Phoenix's Joker has killed zero people. Everyone says that Heath Ledger's Joker has killed at least one.
This is going to inspire shooters.
Oh,
shooters.
Wait a second. There was a shooting in Aurora after The Dark Knight. What are you talking about? He was dressed up as Heath Ledger's Joker.
He didn't get
What are you talking about?
So maybe he...
What are you talking about? Yep. There was a whole shooting with the guy dressed up like the Joker.
I guess...
I was just thinking, we at least know Heath Ledger died. And people say it's because of that movie, even though it's not. And, you know, we had a whole shooting. So what are you talking about?
So you're saying that Heath Ledger Joker did inspire people more to go out and do things?
Question wasn't who was more inspiring. That wasn't the question.
I mean, he won an Oscar, Cam. He won an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor.
The 2019 Oscar, the movies from the 2019 Oscars hasn't ran yet.
Right.
So we don't know if Phoenix hasn't won yet.
Yeah, we do. He's not going to win. De Niro's going to win for playing Frank Sheeran. He's going to be Best Lead Actor. It's basically already wrapped up.
They don't even know if he's a lead actor.
It's basically already wrapped up.
Some people say he's not even a lead actor.
Nah, he's a lead actor. That's what it is.
Cam?
Why are you so serious?
All right, I got to go Cody here.
I know how the game works. You know that he didn't win. I know how the game works.
I have a whole – because he
– All right, let's hear it. Power, I want to hear you. I want to hear you break it down.
The power of a role is on how inspirational you can be. And if
– Oh, so we're giving Heath Ledger points.
Ledger did inspire somebody to go and be a Joker.
Oh,
so,
wow. Okay.
You know, it's not ideal, but –
So maybe if people started stabbing people dressed as clowns, I would have won. Is that what happened?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Kinda. Maybe they will. Maybe,
so that's the reason, huh?
Maybe you'll
that's
get
the
lucky.
Reason he won.
Maybe you'll get lucky, and they will.
Heath Ledger's Joker did affect people a lot quicker than Joaquin's has.
Wow.
So,
I didn't leave The Dark Knight messed up. I left Joker like, man, this is dark. Give me a break. I know how the game works. Go ahead.
I know how the game works.
Next
after
up.
Cam picked you just because Cam was a defensive back.
Next up. As if
you didn't know how the game worked.
As if there was
you
no bias have, there.
You shouldn't have picked linemen.
No, I just
you
every
didn't,
time.
You didn't
no,
know how the game
every
worked.
Every time I get beat, I don't go and say, well, oh, that's how the game works. Just because I lost the point, you know. I knew Cam played defensive back, so I knew there's no way I'd win that argument.
I can go through so many this or that's where you're like, I know how this works.
Go ahead.
Just go ahead and make it 1-1.
Go ahead.
Go ahead and make it 1-1.
Pick them out.
All right. Next up, we have putting cups in the cupboard, right side up or face down.
Well, obviously, you're going to put your cups down. You're going to put them face down. The whole reason people do that is so that bugs don't crawl into them and dust doesn't settle into them and all that kind of things. You take them, you sit them down on the counter, and then you stack them on top, and you continue to stack them. I mean, if you keep your cups up, who does that anymore? Do people do that? People put their cups up so that dust and debris can fly into, bugs can crawl into. I mean, it's pretty simple, isn't it? You put your cups down. Keep things out of them so they're fresh to drink out of.
Bugs?
Yeah, bugs. You never seen a bug in your house?
No, I have. That's why you put your cups upside down?
It's to keep dust.
Whenever
and
I've seen people do this, like to dry them.
Well, they should be dry when you're putting them in the cupboard. Anyway.
Okay, anyways, go
We're
ahead.
Talking about the cupboard, right? When you put them in the cupboard.
We are.
Yeah, the point of putting them down is so that dust and debris and, you know, germs. Well, I mean, germs could still, you know, germs are everywhere. But dust and debris and bugs, they don't get in your cups. I mean, imagine if a spider was to crawl up into your cup because you had it sitting face up. And then, hey, I'm going to pour me a glass of water. And then gulp, gulp, gulp. Whoa! Whoa!
So your whole
Black Widow.
Your whole premise is not being able to see a bug whenever you pick up your cup?
I mean, a lot of times you
I guess
just
the
grab
whole premise
cup.
Of your argument
yeah.
is like to you
well,
didn't see the bug
it.
Sitting there?
That's part of it. I mean, a lot of times you just grab the cup, you fill it up, and you drink it. I mean,
what do you do when you sleep? You cover your mouth?
Yeah, I wear a mask.
You do? You wear a mask?
No, I
a
don't.
A sleep apnea mask?
No, I don't.
Or,
but we're not. This is.
I'm just asking if we're worried about.
We're not talking about that.
I'm just asking if we're worried about bugs. It's just
we're not talking
a weird
about
thing.
That. We're talking
I
about
never
the cups
thought
in
to
the
flip
cupboard.
Them up upside down because of bugs. I was just wondering.
Well, what's bad about flipping them upside down? You got
take
anything
up more
for
space.
Cups up?
Take up more space.
No, they don't.
I mean, honestly, if we're getting down to it realistically, like, I do every other one. I do one up, one down. That's what I usually do.
That's just psychopathy.
That's honestly what I do, so.
Psychopathy.
That is a new one.
That's a psychopathic tendency.
That's weird to do one upside down and one right side up. It just maximizes space. Like, one, the V goes up, the other V goes down. It just, it's
cups have Vs?
My glasses do.
You drinking out of, like, vases?
My glasses, like, they start small and, like, work their way up. They get wider as the higher
I guess
it
depends on the kind of glasses and cups you have. I mean, everybody's going to have
Yeah, different. I got some straight ones, too, don't get me wrong, but.
For the point of the argument, we'll go, like, the solo cup look. Like, you know, give me glass,
just
but, like,
regular
that
looking
normal
cups.
Cup look.
Okay.
I mean.
I still can't see the benefit
Who the hell's putting solo cups upside down?
Well, that was just
I feel like everyone. I feel like everyone is. I mean, I still don't see the benefit of putting it right upside. I mean, do you have a point on why you should have them right side up?
I really don't.
That's what I was thinking.
No, I really
like,
don't.
At least with my point, I'm keeping bugs out. I'm keeping dust and debris out. You know. So
I was really expecting you to say like they dry, and then I was going to say you're going to mess your wood up, but then you went with bugs, and I don't really have a way to get out of this with bugs.
I assume they're always dry when you put them in the cupboard. You know.
No, I mean not. I don't know. Are
you
people
putting wet cups up in your cabinet?
I mean, I try to shake them out before I get them, but like.
You put wet cups up in your cabinet.
If I do, I put them upside, right side up.
So that the water just settles in the bottom?
No, just that so it doesn't ruin the wood.
Eventually evaporates?
It's just there's not a lot of water. There's just not a lot of water. I wasn't really expecting you to go with bugs. I didn't really have an argument about that, other than like clean your apartment and like sleep with your mouth closed because bugs get in your mouth. I didn't really have anything here.
Really all clear. Right, point
really,
Cody.
Really need to wrap this one up in two. I was really hoping that I could have got that sweep.
No, what a comeback by me.
Yeah, either way, last call on the other side.